Facebook has a new friend, and its name is Goldman Sachs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Facebook is getting almost $500 million investment from Goldman Sachs. The New York Times today reports that the granddaddy of investment banks is going young adult in a move that boosts Facebook's value to about $50 billion. Our friend, Marketplace's Scott Tong, is following this story for us this morning, and he joins us now live. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Jeremy.
So Facebook is getting some street cred, as in Wall Street.
Yeah.
Does that mean Facebook is establishment now?
Well, let's talk about their business model. And Facebook makes money selling ads and by selling what are called virtual goods. Say you play a game and you want the faster car, well, you pay real money. We are talking about a lot of users, 500 million users who now know how to friend and unfriend, as in verbs. I spoke this morning to Justin Urquhart-Stewart at the firm Seven Investment Management in London, and I asked him if this means that Facebook has graduated.
Facebook has now effectively become a postgrad and has actually developed into now not just an interesting business, but the potential for a really very important socially coordinating business with all the attendant business opportunities.
And Scott, there's been talk for a long time about whether and when Facebook will go public. Does this news today make that more likely?
Well, as Facebook gets more investors from banks like Goldman Sachs and people who are buying shares from some of the early venture capital firms, under the Securities and Exchange Committee rules, if you have 500 shareholders, then you have to disclose your financial results. So the thinking is, once that's public, maybe Facebook will just go public. Still, the CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, has said lately, don't hold your breath.
And I saw that Goldman Sachs employees aren't even allowed to use Facebook at work. So maybe this will change that policy. Marketplace
Somehow
Scott
they can
Tong.
Live without it.
Exactly. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
The market for corporate bonds is sending positive signals about the U.S. economy. For the first time in nearly 15 years, it's cheaper for American companies to borrow than it is for foreign companies to borrow money. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Usually, American companies have to pay more than their European and Japanese rivals when they borrow money from investors. That's because, on average, their stock is longer dated. In other words, investors have to wait longer to get their money back. But now, according to figures from Bank of America, the situation has changed. Investors are now prepared to earn less on their American company bonds than on those from Japan or Europe. The reason, says Howard Wealdon of the BGC Group, is that the US looks in better shape than the others.
Spending has risen. There's no worry about inflation in the US. And the general scene looks positive in terms of growth being extended through 2011.
Meanwhile, he says, Europe seems likely to be weighed down by the problem of government debt well into 2012. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Good start to the year in European stocks. Frankfurt and Paris both up more than 1.5% this morning. The CEO of Italian carmaker Fiat may raise its stake in says Fiat may raise its stake in Chrysler from 20% to 50% if and when Chrysler goes public. Fiat helped take Chrysler out of bankruptcy, and the CEO says an IPO could come later this year. On Friday, the Dow rose 7 points to close at 11,577.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
Later this week, we'll get the first big employment report of the new year from the Labor Department. It'll tell us what the unemployment rate was in December. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has been covering the labor market for us and joins us now with a look at the big picture. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
So a year ago at this time, things were pretty bleak. You've been tracking the job market since then. How far have we come?
Jeremy, you know, compared to last year, pretty far. The unemployment rate remains high, it's true. But instead of cutting jobs like they were last year, private employers have been adding them, maybe 100,000 a month on average. That is enough to absorb new workers, high school and college grads, moms and dads coming off parental leave. The problem is it's not nearly enough to give jobs back to the 8 million Americans who got laid off. Many of these people are still unemployed. The time it takes to find a new job is near record highs. So unless we start getting two or three times more jobs added every month, unemployment is going to remain high all year.
But Mitchell, we've been getting some good news from companies recently. Their profits are higher. Consumers have started to spend a little bit more. Couldn't that translate into some good news for the job market?
That's really our best hope. Economist Karen Dinan at the Brookings Institution spun out the best case scenario for me.
I think what people are looking for is for the pickup in spending to kickstart hiring. And if it does, it has the potential to unleash a virtuous cycle, really. If we see more job growth, we would see incomes pick up. That would make the higher rate of spending growth sustainable, which in turn would lead to yet more hiring.
Sounds like a pretty good virtuous cycle, Mitchell. But what could throw that off track, if anything?
Any number of things. Gas prices, for instance, they've been going up.
Yep.
That could spook consumers. And for businesses, even if they are selling more now, they could just cope the same way they've been coping. They get their people to work harder, work longer hours, they hire more temps without making those people permanent. That's great for their bottom line, not so great for the long-term unemployed, and not great for the economy as a whole. In fact, the unemployment rate's now at 9.8%. Most economists expect it to still be around 9% next January.
Well, we'll see if that prediction comes true. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And finally, a man in Spain had a good start to the year. He and his buddies won the lottery. The prize was about $12 million, except, oops, he'd thrown the ticket in the garbage. He scoured his house for the ticket and couldn't find it, so he went down to the neighborhood dumpster and tipped it over. Well, the ticket was there, and so was a good life lesson. Don't throw winning lottery tickets in the trash. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
In the fight against online retailers, campus bookstores are selling a lot more than instructional materials.
The margins are much better on the hoodies and the sweatshirts and the shot glasses.
I'm Bob Moon. College stores become one-stop shopping destinations. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.